So it's like 12:35, and I want to kind of get into several different things, but I know I'm glad that this is a smaller crowd, because sometimes you can go deeper, you can go further in things when it's a smaller crowd. But I want to just introduce myself real fast. If you, of course, everyone knows Christian. She's my sister-in-law, and so I'm from Logan, and I lead worship there. I have two teenage daughters, Brooklyn and Allison. Brooklyn's 20, and Allison will be 17 soon. So I'm almost empty nest coming up soon. So that's fun times. But my mother-in-law is here. We have her with us today, and so. But, you know, I've been in ministry my whole life, I could say. So I know probably if you had any questions about ministry, I could probably give you an example and tell you what we did, what we didn't do. So if you do have some questions throughout this, write it down, and we'll give you a few minutes at the end to do some question and answers maybe. But when Anna asked me to do this, you're asking a worship leader to teach on worship, and I'm like, man, there's so much to this, and I'm going to bust some of our myths on some things, but there's so much to it that I want to start back really from the basics of truly what it is. And so what I want to do is I'm going to hand this out, and I would like for you to take just a few minutes and answer these. Now, there's a pen in the back of the chair. Behind you, in front of you. Listen, I'm not going to see this, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Honesty is, when you're honest with these questions, you're going to be able to grow. But until you get honest, it's going to always, you'll always make yourself to be and do more than actually what you're doing, and you can't grow. And so what I want you to do is I want you to answer these as honest as you possibly can, without going into great detail. And some of these may be like sometimes, or if you're honest, and it may be the time that maybe the only time that you pray, or the only time that you worship, is at church. And so if it is, write it down there, because we're gonna be honest with ourselves and find out where our heart is this morning. Okay, some of these questions, and I'll read this for the sake of the recording. Is the first one is, how long have you been saved? The second one is, are you filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And if you are, when was the last time that you prayed in the Spirit? Do you read your Bible daily? If so, where was the last place that you studied at? What was the last book that you studied in? Or maybe what was the last scripture that you, it's a meditation of your heart. And when I say meditation of your heart, I mean like you're thinking about it during the day, not, you know, God has placed this scripture in your heart and you're thinking about it. When was the last time and what the scripture was? When was the last time that you quoted a scripture over your life or your situation that you're dealing with? And do you tithe and give offering to your local church? Number six is, have you ever led someone to the Lord? And I would like to even ask if it's been recently. If you've actually witnessed some to somebody, or if you've even asked, are you saved? I was super excited that I had the chance of doing that recently. It was just something that, you know, when you begin to get hungry for God, you want everyone to know Jesus. So it's like the first thing that you start doing. So have you ever led someone to the Lord? Number seven is, are you regularly disciplining or discipling, not disciplining, discipling someone, or maybe in an area of Are you pouring into someone that's around you? Hi. We're taking just a few minutes to fill this out. Number eight, are you setting personal spiritual goals for yourself? Not just at the beginning of the year, although that's a great time to do it. Every January, we go on a corporate fast, our praise and worship team. And I also want to say that I'm not going to be addressing this from a praise and worship leader. This is just a life of a worshiper, so it's not, but I will be directing it. Those of you that are on a worship team, take it back to your teams and apply some of this stuff, because primarily, if you are on a worship team, then your life should definitely be looking different than anyone else. I mean, if you're on the platform, there ought to be a standard that you're going by, and that's why we do this often in our team. We will fill out things. I want to know, hey, what are you reading right now? I randomly will just quiz them like that, like, what did you study this morning? And if they're not, then there's some changes that have to be made, because there's an accountability that we have for our team. We're very strict about that. And so constantly I'm finding out where their spiritual life is. Number nine is, when was the last time you got away with God and spent time in prayer? Has it been within the last day? Has it been within the last week? Has it been probably several months before you've done that? And when was the last time that you read a whole chapter of the Bible? If you can't remember, right? I can't remember. If you don't know, then we're going to get into that a little bit this morning. So you're thinking, well, how in the world does this, how does these questions, what does this have to do with worship? And I would venture to say everything. Everything. And so let's just start this morning, and let's just say, or this afternoon, let's just say, everything I've learned about worship, let's throw it all away, and let's start from scratch and ask the Lord this morning to just clean slate. Lord, show me exactly. Show me what worship is. Show me what I need to do in my life to be a worshiper. Because He said this in His Word. He said, I'm not looking for worship. Go to John 4. What did He say? He said, I'm looking for worshipers. And so He's not looking for what we would say when we say worship. I'm looking for somebody that is a worshiper. And so it's obvious to me that if He's having to seek that out, and He said, this is what I'm seeking out, this is what I'm looking for, if He's seeking it out, then evidently not everyone's doing it. Yeah. Right? And so, I mean, I would venture to say, oh, everyone in church. No, that's not what happens. So we're going to start from scratch. And so we're going to write down, you know, keep your pencils and your pens going, and let the Holy Ghost impart some things to you this morning as we're going over this. And I promise you, if you grab onto this today, if you grab onto everything the Lord wants to speak to you today, your whole entire life will change. And I promise, because it did for me. Because I've been in church my whole life. My parents were pastors. I've been in the music department forever. I mean, since I was little, my mom would stand me on the piano bench and sing while she played. So I've been in what we would call church my whole life, and lived what I would call a great godly life. I mean, I have some good testimonies of what the life that I lived with God. So we were missionaries in Germany. I've seen God do great and mighty things in and through our family. And so when I say that I've literally cut my teeth on the back of the pews, I literally did. I was there all the time. And so during the day we were there, I was the one that's, you know, but there was always something whenever we were in church, I wasn't that kid sleeping under the pew. Like, I wasn't the one. My mom had to bring a whole bag of stuff to keep me entertained, because there was something in my heart that was stirred in me from a young age that I was so, I wanted to watch what was going on. I mean, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so, you know, you just don't even know really what's going to happen at any time. So I honestly, there was just, I was hungry for the presence of the Lord at a very young age. And so I wanted to cultivate just a place to where it was like, I love Jesus. And so I can't even explain, you know, I've like, when did you get saved? Well, I believe I was 8 years old at the time that I really actually asked the Lord. I remember that. So there were times to where I'm like, I don't, I, I remember certain dates of things that happened, even though I've been there forever. And so, but I found myself, and this is what was happening. Like I walked this Christian life, but then I came to a place in my life to where it seemed like a little bit of a tragedy to me and to our church. It wasn't a church split, but it was actually a time when we had a pastor leave. And, I remember it being such a hard time, but I remember the Lord saying, people are looking to you right now, because we were leaders in the church. And it was a hurt for everyone. It caught everyone off guard. And so I remember the Lord saying, like, you watch what you say, you watch what you do, everyone's watching you. Although they were all the time, but in this particular moment. And so I found myself in a place to where I just started seeking the Lord. But what I found is that I'd been, you know, been going to church. I mean, I'm going to heaven, you know. You're thinking, this is a life, you're going to heaven, you're going to church, you're doing everything right. But what I found myself is that I was stagnant in my Christian walk and didn't know it. And that's a sad place to be when you think you're doing everything right. But really what's happening is I was very complacent in my walk with the Lord. If you would have asked me some of these questions then, I would have been like, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't truly what I would say seeking the Lord for. I was working at the church. I'm there all the time. You feel like you pray all the time. But I found myself, the only time I was truly praying was at church or over my meals when I was with people. I wasn't doing it by myself. Like if I was by myself, I didn't say my prayer over my food or prayers before you go to bed. So I found myself in what I was just a complete complacency. And so I would look back and I found out that I really knew a lot about God. I knew a lot about Him. But really what was happening is I didn't know Him. And so I didn't know how to, I would see people that I admired, that they had a different relationship with Him than I had. Now this is where we go back to say, yes, we're going to heaven. It's a great thing to live a Christian life and go to heaven. But honestly, there's so much more to this. And you all, I'm literally speaking to the choir this morning when I say that. We know that there's more that God wants in our life. But we seem to say, I just don't have enough time. There's just so much going on. I mean, I'm here, I'm there, and to God, that's like you might as well just puke out your mouth. Like to Him, that means nothing. That you don't have time. So you're saying that you don't have enough time for your spiritual growth, which our daily habits is we don't forget to brush our teeth. I mean, we don't forget to comb our hair and put our makeup on. Why? Because it has become such a routine to us. And something that we have to have. And so our daily habits should include more than just brushing our teeth and combing our hair and picking out some clothes. So God, that's the natural. But if we're going to do that on the natural, how much more should we do it on the spiritual side? And so if we're doing that and we're thinking, what if I go out of my house right now and I don't brush my hair, brush my teeth, what is that going to portray to people? So if you go out of your house without doing anything spiritual in the morning, what is that going to portray to God? How much value your life is to Him? And so that's the kind of thing that I want to kind of go in a different, complete route than what you're thinking that worship is. And so I know that we'll maybe bust some myths and do some things. But, I could do sword drills with the best of them and win them all. I mean, I knew Scripture. But when it came time for me to actually quote a scripture over my situation, I was like, what do you think I should say over this? I mean, there was nothing in here. It was all here. And so I had nothing here, and I couldn't even live what I would say a good godly life. I couldn't apply anything. There was no growth at all. And it was all what we would say here, what we in a dictionary or per se, whatever. So I had it all here, but there was nothing here. And so I want you to, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Isaiah 29:13. And this is where I caught myself. And the Lord reminded me of this scripture when I was studying this. He said, do you remember when I told you this? Because I was on a worship team. I was singing with the best of them, praising the Lord with the best of them. But then what happened was, is on Sunday I would be praising the Lord, and then I would go put my Bible in my car, and it would stay there until the next day. Or have you ever seen them people that would come into church and like totally leave their Bible on the pew, and you're like, wow, they didn't read their Bible this week, or they leave it there to say it's not what we'd say a seat saver. But I was leaving my Bible in the car. But you know what? I never forgot my phone. I mean, you get in your house and you're like, where's my phone at? And you're like, oh, I got to go back out and get it. How many times was I doing that with the Word? I mean, it should be as much more value to us as, I mean, there are times to where I'll take this to bed with me before I take my phone now, because it's become my life source more than what our, but, and you may be thinking here this morning, I'm not there yet. We're going to get there, because it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, this doesn't just happen because we would like for it to. I mean, how many times have I said, I would really like to be an organized person. I mean, I want to, Anna and I are so much alike, it's not even funny, because I really want to be organized. My heart is organized. But if you go look in my cabinet, you're like, she's not organized at all. Like, she portrays this to be a great put together person. No, I want to be, like, I really strive to be. But in order for me to be that person, I have to actually what? I have to do it. There has to be something I have to do. So Isaiah 29 and 13 says this, and the Lord says that these people say that they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And they worship, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by what? So are we just worshiping the Lord? Are we doing everything just because of somebody else doing it? I mean, we could get to the place to where our whole life could just be complete routine, and really we're not walking in any of the fullness of God's called us to walk in. I mean, he says tithe, give and it shall be given, pressed down, I'm giving, but I'm not seeing any blessing. Or maybe you're doing some of these things, but you're doing it out of such a routine that you're looking at it and you're thinking, I'm truly not seeing. I'm not walking in what I would say the favor of the Lord. I mean, there's just not blessing following me everywhere I go. Or there's not things to where when you go through and you're like, how are you standing through that right now of what you're going through? Well, it's because my life is a worship. My lifestyle has become something to where I truly trust and depend on God. It's not something I just say. So what happens is when we get around people that do this, we're really good at saying it. I mean, we're really good. I mean, I lived the life. I was in a minister's family. I was ministering myself, and I was like, I'm doing really good at saying this. And that's what I can't stand, is when you see people say it, but they're not living it at all. And you can almost tell it. And so it's aggravating to me, and that's what I can't. I mean, God can't stand this. And so that's the things that we want to change. And so the word worship, now let's, and I know we know this, but we're going to say it again. It's not music. And it's only in modern day church culture that we've taken the word worship and stuck it into a genre of music. I mean, I got my rock workout music, and you know, I got my dancing music here, or I've got my, I need this for when I go to bed, I need this music. And then we put, I got my worship music here. We've stuck it into where it's a category of a genre of something that what it is. Or, you know, we wait till somebody picks up a guitar on the stage and we're like, oh, we're getting ready to worship. Or, I mean, it's this is what we've done in the modern world. And all we want to, we just want to create just an atmosphere of spontaneous worship. That's not even, that doesn't happen every service. And we have made it to where our culture and our church culture, if we're not doing that, you're not doing that? You're just not as cool as Maverick City, or you're not as cool as People in Songs, or, you know, it's because what they do, I mean, we're not doing this every, you can't create that every service. And so we have labeled it to this right here. Or we say, oh man, that person's on the floor. I mean, they're just pouring their heart out to the Lord. That, you know, they're in worship. We don't know. That's not, we can't label that as, we can't just stick a label on everything. It's an act of worship. But not everybody knows how to worship. And so we're asking people, we come in, you know, we come in wanting everybody to pour out their heart to the Lord, and you're like, they can't do that. They don't know Him. And so we're asking people to do something that they can't. And then we're wondering why we don't teach on it more. And we got to go back to, what are you doing every day? This is why it comes back to, what are you doing every day? Worship doesn't, I mean, it's not an activity that we have confined to the a realm of expression of music. When we really understand what worship is, and we come back to this, we'll label it as worth-ship. What is of worth to you? Remember that old song, coming back to the heart of worship? It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that we've made it, because we've made this something to where it stinks. I mean, it just stinks. And we've taught everybody that if you're not coming up during worship and you're not bowing down before the Lord, and I mean, I'm not saying that's not a great thing, but if that's the only time that you're doing it, you're not a worshiper. That's not what He's seeking. He's not seeking you to be able to do it here and not when you walk out of the room. Now, do we just lay our feet down and do I walk outside the door and you know, lay down before the Lord? No. That's why He's saying, listen, I'm looking for somebody that knows how to do this life with me as a complete worth, as a life of worship. And so your whole life, this is not what I would say. It wouldn't be like a lifestyle, because I feel like we've almost made that even weird, like a lifestyle of worship, you know, or a lifestyle of whatever, or a lifestyle of this. It's your life. That's what it is. It's your whole life is truly what it is. And so let's go to I open up to Romans 12 while I'm still speaking here for a minute. It's possible that you can get into what we would say a formality of worship and never, ever, ever get into what we would call a heart of worship. You can say all the right things and do all the right things, and just because you're on the praise team doesn't mean you're a worshiper. Just because you can sing well doesn't mean you're a worshiper. Doesn't mean you can play good doesn't mean you're a worshiper. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a worshiper. And none of that does. But let's go over to Romans 12. And this is what he says worship is. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He would find acceptable. This right here is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So it says here that we're to give our bodies as a holy, living sacrifice. Well, what is a sacrifice? Let's write this down. It's anything consecrated and offered to God. That's what a sacrifice is. We are a living sacrifice for God by not being conformed to the beliefs and values of the world. Because he goes on to say, listen, do not be conformed to the world. And the only way that you can not be conformed of the world is this right here, is the word. That's the only way. And then he goes to say, you have got to renew your mind to this. Until you do that, until you come to a place that you're not living like the world, what does that mean? The lust of the flesh. I don't feel like it today. I mean, I just really didn't feel like reading the Bible today. I didn't even feel, it's not even about that. We're still trying to do all of this by routine, and I have to do it. I have to do this because this is what my Christian life is. And so it all comes to where none of it means anything. If you're doing it because you have to, or you feel guilty that you have not done it today, or that you've not spent time with Him, or that you've not even opened His Word and said, Lord, I'd like for You to speak to me today. This is what His whole intention was. And we heard this morning, back from the very Genesis, His whole intent. And what we've done is we've went to Romans 12 and we've conformed to the world, to where we've done everything the world wants us to do on a daily routine. And we've done it again. We're like, oh man, I did it again. So then that what we have to do, we have to go back to renew our mind. And so that has to be something that has to be done more than, I mean, it literally has to be done more than one time a day. How many times do we have to correct our kids? And you're like, how many times have I told you that? Like, you're doing it again. I just told you that 5 minutes ago. Like, how many times? It's going to take some time. Because we're going against the grain of what their natural flesh is doing. And they don't even care. And you're like, did you even hear what I said? And that's what the Lord's like, man, did you, how many times do I have to tell you this? This is supposed to be your life. You're supposed to have something that you're growing with daily. There should be a development. If you wrote down on that paper that you are saved, and you're the same place that you were when you got saved, or you're like, well, I feel like I've grown a little bit. But if you still can't quote to me 5 healing scriptures right now, there may be some places you got to grow. Yeah. Or if you're on a worship team and you can't name me 5 praise songs, right? Praise scriptures. Man, there may be some things that you need to figure out. I'm supposed to be leading these people into the worship, into the throne of God. If I can't do that, and I can't even think of a scripture off the top of my head, something might be a little, maybe I'm not a praiser. Maybe I'm not somebody that lives a life of praise. Then I shouldn't be leading that. Or if I am leading that, then maybe I should turn it around to be like, all right, because here's the thing. I didn't become a worship leader because, I was a worshiper before I was a worship leader. And that's why God appointed me there then. I did this before. I learned this before I took the position. And so he knew that my heart was right before I even stepped into it, that my character was right. And so my character was already formed for that. So there may be some things that you might need to grow in. If you're dealing with symptoms in your body right now and you can't at least give me 3 scriptures, then you're not using what we would say, you're using the world. If the first thing that you do is go to the cabinet and get medicine, that's what the world does. Now, I'm not saying you can't use medicine. What I'm saying is God said, I sent this to heal you. And he said, that laughter, that's what I've given you as your, how does that work? I can't explain to you all the time how it happens, but it works. I mean, all I know is the word works, but we don't go there first. And so what happens is we truly don't know, which goes back to the thing is, number one, you can't properly worship him until you know him. Yeah. And until you know him, until you know that this works beyond a shadow of it, I know it works. I have worked the word. I got so mad one time. I was dealing with some pain, and it was a chronic issue. And I thought I was doing everything right, but I was doing it out of aggravation, and it wasn't nothing from the heart. And I sat down in front of the Lord. I was in pain at that moment, but I sat down and I said, Lord, you said your word was sent to heal me. And I really need the healing right now. And I'm going to you first, because really the medical field wants to do so much more to me right now, and I don't want to do all that. They were wanting to run all kinds of tests and do all kinds of different, put me on medication for the rest of my life, because they can't do nothing for me. And so we're going to what we would say a natural thing that they couldn't. What are we going to do when we've exhausted all the world? And so we've got to learn and train yourself. I'm not saying you may need to go that way. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, what are you doing first? Are you truly saying, all right, Lord, let's do this? I mean, because if it doesn't work, if it truly doesn't work, then throw it away. Why are we even here? If God truly is the healer, or God truly is our strength, you know, many of you know, we were doing the hike with Anna and them. And I truly learned how to get in the spirit. Like, the first hike that we did, I was like, man, you said that we could do our whole life in the spirit. We're supposed to live this life in the spirit. How are you supposed to do that? Well, he taught me on a hike, because I was so mad. It was so hard. The first time that we went, when we hiked Mount Whitney the first time, I was like, man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Like, this is way hard. And so we're thinking, all right, you said that we can come to you when things are hard. And you're supposed to teach us how to do this. I'm right here in the middle of it right now. And I apparently don't know how to do this with you. I apparently don't know how to get in the Spirit when I'm in a natural day life. It's real easy when the anointing's upon you and you're in the congregation upon the platform. I mean, you can step right in. Everything's great there. But I'm right here in what I would say one of the hardest times of my physical life. And you said that we can step into the Spirit and live life like this. And there would be some answers there. And I would be able to, I'm telling you, when I started doing that and getting in the Spirit like that, it was a lot easier. Because my mind wasn't thinking about the problem. I was singing praises to the Lord and literally ended up doing some things in the natural that I was like, oh. And then I would get right back in the flesh and it was like, oh, it's hard again. You know, it's hard. But he's truly could teach you, and he taught me then in a natural way how to live in the Spirit, how to get in the Spirit. How do you get in the Spirit? How do you live life in the Spirit? What is the Spirit? How are we supposed to live what we would say right now? If I ask you right now, how do we get in the Spirit? And so what you do is just the way that you would step over, just like this in the natural, I just stepped over in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means I'm more aware of God than I am the natural realm right now. And when you get over in this place of the Spirit, my feet was hurting a little bit in the natural. But when I get over in the Spirit and I become more aware of Him, all the pain leaves. And so when you come on into the Spirit like that, you grab what you need and you take it with you. How do you get it to apply? You said, Lord, I thank you for my healing right now. Or I thank you for my joy right now. I got in the Spirit and got it. Now I'm going to carry it with me. How do you do it? By saying that right there. Thank you that you've given me everything I need for this day. Thank you. Now, what is that right there? That's communication with the Father. That's when you pray, that's what you do. You invite Him into your situation at the moment, or just your day. What are you doing? You're showing Him how much value He is to you and how much you need Him. I mean, you need Him. You truly need Him. And we can talk the talk all day long. And we can say things like, you know, we as Christians, we say so much junk out of our mouth that is just spiritual junk. And you're like, stop giving me that and give me the truth. I mean, that's the only way that we can help people is when they identify, like, I can't do this. Teach me how. And I think that's when the Lord is like, oh, now you're ready. Because you've tried to do it on your own this whole time. And so now I'm like, all right, teach me how to do it. So I asked the Lord whenever I was in all that pain. I said, all right, you said, and I'm in pain right now. How do I get this? Do you know what he did? He said, all right, now let me show you how I did this for you. And so in the natural, it doesn't make sense. But when I asked the Lord, how do I do this? How do I get healing? What I had been doing for years was trying to do it frustration and in my head and walking through what I would say spiritual garbage in my mouth, saying it, but nothing was here. And so he began to say, all right, let's go back to the cross. And so what he did at that moment when I was in excruciating pain, laying in the floor, he walked me through this and I got in this. He got me in the Spirit. He showed me how to receive my healing. And so he took me back to that place where he got it. He said, now I took all this here. And so gave me a vision and walked me through this. And by the time he got me to the end of it, and he said, now your pain's gone, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, it was. I didn't need anything. Went back to the doctor for my regular checkup, and they took a biopsy that day. And I went back for the test results, and he said, it's completely different. Like your whole uterus and everything, everything is completely different. I didn't do that. I didn't have to do anything. But what I did have to do is get in this place of the Spirit. And what it is we don't even know Him. And He wants to have this with you, but He doesn't want it to be fabricated to where you're you know, it's raw, it's real, it's something that He wants with you. But we go back to we try to do everything. Life is so fast, and life is so quick that we just don't have time for that. We need medicine now, or I need to go do this now. I don't have time. So you know what the Lord started dealing with me on when I was looking over my routine of what do I do on a daily basis? Where's my heart at all day long? And He said, so what I'm going to ask you to do is if you'll obey me of this, since you say you don't have time. So I started somewhere. And so before church on Sunday morning, I wanted to make sure that I was in the right place. And he started getting me up super early on a Sunday morning, where after church I can take a glorious nap. So I got my body used to that. And so I started somewhere. And so I got up early on a Sunday morning, and all I did was just, I didn't even think about the service. I wasn't thinking about what we were singing that day. I wasn't thinking about anything else, but I'm going to cultivate a place of worship in my heart for you, because I'm doing it on Sunday morning, but I'm really not doing it. I'm leading. And I'm leading them to a place where I thought was worship. I didn't know Him. And so I had to get to know Him. So number one, until you know Him, it won't be true worship. And number two is you got to know your relationship to Him. You got to know your relationship to Him. And then you're going to become a life, you'll be living a life of worship after that. And then, so what does it mean then when we come in here on, you know, Sunday? You know, if we've lived this life all week, what would it look like if we came in Sunday when everybody was like that? What would it even do? Well, what it would cause was the glory of the Lord would fill the temple. And every single person would be touched by the power of God, and people are changed like that. And until we do that, I mean, I'm not saying that you know, that's going to happen. What I'm saying is, it's when you come into corporately, when you come in to magnify the Lord just because, like, oh, man, I've just had the best time with Him this week. I'm not even thinking about, I don't even like this song. Because sometimes we're like, man, I don't even know this song. I went to Rhema with Anna. I was like, I should know these songs. But I just, there's a lot of things that we do and don't sing. But I was like, I know some of these. I knew some of them, but some of the newer ones I didn't know. And I'm not saying I didn't know. We don't sing them some. And so can you worship if you don't know the music? You could, but we don't a lot of times. It's different. It's different. God, there, you know, you're thinking, we analyze everything, but we're truly not getting to a place of worship. I had to get to the place to where I wasn't afraid of their faces, because the congregation just looks at you sometimes and you're like, well, this is wonderful. I mean, how are we supposed to, you know, so it's like you're, it's a different calling and it's a different place when you're leading versus, you know, because, you know, I'm not saying that people aren't worshiping, but what I'm saying is they don't know Him. And we're expecting them to pour their heart out to the Lord. And we just got to teach them, you know, hey, right now, why don't you just lift your voice to the Lord and just tell Him how much you want Him here. That's what you do. Like, you have to teach people how to do this. And then we're asking them to, we just want them to do I want everybody to live a life, but we can't expect that if they're not coming to a place. Now, everything in my whole life changed when I learned this. When my whole Christian walk, I mean, there was a hunger like I never had before for Him. There was a hunger for church. Like, I couldn't wait. It wasn't like, I gotta go back to church today. Oh, we're having revival again. I mean, you know, it wasn't like things like that to where you're asking us to come for prayer at what? Every day? Yeah, we have corporate prayer at a church every day. Every day. My pastor's wife leads prayer every day, or I myself. And so, you know, I started taking off work before I was hired at the church. I started making times of, I just want to be there. So I would take off work. I was self-employed. I work at a salon, so it's easier than, you know, most people, but I could take off work. So what I did was I started making time for the presence of the Lord. Started making time. And so what you have to do right now is to where you, will it be there at first? No. It's going to be some times to where when you sit down the road, I don't even know where to read, Lord. Well, start somewhere. Start with Ephesians prayers. Start in Ephesians. Start in John, learning who he is. And then talk to him when you're doing that. And so Anna and I, about a year ago, we did, I don't know if anybody heard of 75 Hard. Have you guys heard of 75 Hard? It was hard. I mean, they always ask me to do this stuff, and I'm like, I don't do research or anything. I'm just like, oh, okay, let's do it. So then I get in, I'm like, man, this is hard. Like, what am I doing? Like, why am I not researching what they've asked me to do? So I'm like, sure, let's do it. So we stepped in, Josh and my husband and I and Anna, we did 75 Hard. And like 14 days in, I'm like, I should be seeing like a six pack by now. Like I should be able to do like, I mean, I thought I was going to be. Every day I'd ask you to get in there. And if you don't know what it is, it's a very good discipline. And this is when I knew that, oh my gosh, like I thought I had discipline. I worked out every day. No, this is a whole new discipline. So you're going to have to train your body into some discipline spiritually and physically. This has to be done. And this is not going to just come on you, because I thought, if I didn't have this little app that I had to check into every day and accountability partners, I was like, I could have fudged it a lot. I mean, I probably would have. But so we would get into this thing, and every day you had to drink a gallon of water, and then you had to read 10 pages of a book. You had to, let me think, two workouts every day, two 45-minute workouts, I believe. One has to be outside, and then it had to be a balanced diet. Yes, and then I feel like there was something else. But the gallon of water would get me every time. And so I really wanted to fudge on that a whole lot, because I felt like I was floating by the end of the day. But you had to take a picture of yourself every day working out. And I was like, I was taking a picture thinking, I feel like I look the same every stinking day. Like I wanted to see, you know, how many, we do a diet and we like get on the scale after 2 days. Like, what are we thinking? Like, why do I do that? Like Josh and everybody's like, oh, I'm losing 10 pounds. I lost 10 pounds. And I was like, I've gained 2 pounds. Like, how does this happen? And so it gets discouraging because I'm not seeing immediate results. And I was really mad about it, because you're lifting weights and you're running and you're doing all these exercises, but up 14 days into it, that's usually they say 14 to 16 days is when people drop out normally. I was like, man, if you're going that long, you might as well go the rest, because if you can do 14 days, you can do the rest, I promise you. But they say there's 21 days to form a habit. That's a lie. It's a straight lie from the pit of hell, because it takes more than 21 days. But I really felt like I would see results. I was like, man, I was lifting up my shirt, taking a picture, and I was like, there's nothing. Like, nothing's changing. Like, I probably feel like I didn't see changes until well up in, like, I mean, but the problem, I felt better. I could feel the difference, but I couldn't necessarily, what I would say, see the difference. And so, I don't know if anybody does that anyway. When you weigh your, why do we weigh ourselves when we start a diet and we're thinking we're going to see like immediate, what is happening? It doesn't happen like tomorrow. It didn't happen. I didn't put all that on within, you know, a day. So it's going to take a little bit more time. So what happens in your spiritual walk is a lot of times you're not going to see what I would say immediate results. And so what happens is if we don't see an immediate result, when you're reading the word, man, the word, he sent his word to heal. I know by his stripes I am healed. You took every bit of this, Father. And you're thinking, I don't see the results yet. I mean, it didn't happen. I mean, you're renewing your mind. Your mind didn't get where it's at in a week, in a month. It got there a lot longer than you think it did. So there's a lot that you have to reprogram. And until you reprogram it, what I would suggest that you would do is every day, every single day I read these. And until I started reading, and Brother Hagin said this, if you would read the Ephesians prayers every single day for 6 months, and you're thinking, oh, I can do that. No, you go in about a week and you're thinking, oh, shoot, I done forgot 3 days this week. Like, what am I even doing? So then you give up because you think it's too much for us to do. And you're thinking, I just can't do that. No, you pick it back up and you get in there. And what happens is this, it brings new light to what you're doing, and it brings a new light of who he is and of his relationship to you as a dad, as a father. And then you're going to notice after time, you know, when our church went through that big big thing that it went through, what I did every day, and this is how I started, and this is where I started to where the hunger started coming. I got every day I would find a scripture that I could post on Facebook to help the people, that would turn their mind off of what we were facing to him. And at that moment, it got me in the Word every day. So then I found that I was actually pouring my heart in to the church people, and really what it was doing, it was changing me. So even though we're not seeing complete changes at the moment when we're doing this, there's something happening. I know that when I'm working out like a beast for 45 minutes a day, twice a day, in the morning and night, and I know that if I'm eating, I mean, I know even though it doesn't look different in the mirror, and my pants don't feel different, nothing feels different. I feel like I'm gaining, and I'm drinking all this water, and I'm bloated, but I'm like, something's changing. Yeah. Something's happening in your spirit. Something's happening in the natural if you just get up and walk every day. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen whether or not you do it or not. So you're going to either be worshiping the world, or you're truly going to come into where you're worshiping the Father with your life. And that's only going to change if you look, go back to that paper and look what you're doing every day. If he can't be the forefront of everything, then make some arrangements. If you don't have 30 minutes a day, then I would say look at your daily schedule, write it down. What am I doing? Because I guarantee, you know, one thing that the Lord had to deal with me on is because I would sit down and get hooked on a Netflix series. And that's like the worst thing in the world, because I can't stop at one. Like, why would there be 20 series of a, why? Like that, you know, it's like, it knows. Yeah. Like, I mean, and so, you know what I had to do, though? I had to delete Netflix. Because my mind, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. Like, I physically couldn't do it. So I was like, all right, I got to cut it somewhere. I mean, if scrolling your phone all the time is just something that you're doing as a pastime, man, delete something. Because this is not going to happen. I promise you. Like, but what you will do is after me doing this for a long time, then I saw the gradual impact. And then I was like, oh, I really don't want to watch Netflix now. Like, I really didn't. My hunger for that stopped. And my hunger for the worldly things stopped. But it only did that was because I made a force and discipline. But honestly, I don't mean to bring it back to this, but it just, it is. If you have a hard time even maybe fasting a day or fasting a lunch, then you might need to get a grip on your flesh first and practice there. Like if you can't maybe do a balanced, healthy diet or routine, start somewhere. You know, the Lord told me a couple years ago, about 3 years ago, he said, I want you to stop sugar. I didn't know why, and I didn't have to ask him why. I mean, I was like, oh, do I have something going on? No, but he knew that maybe I needed to do that for a reason. I didn't ask. I mean, I'm not saying that's what he's telling you, but so what did I do? I didn't cold turkey start off like all sugar. I started with sugar-free creamer in my coffee because I drink a lot of coffee. So started somewhere, and then the Lord helped me, and then it was like, oh, I can do. I started little and started somewhere. So there may be if you because what happens is if you can discipline your flesh, then you're going to be able to discipline your spirit. And do some things there. And so I think that's about all the habits that you have on these papers. This is key to becoming and living what I would say having a heart of worship. Your whole life just shows value. I mean, if you followed me around during the day, some of the things I do, you may be like, I mean, you know, I remember let's go to the word whenever, you know, the woman with the alabaster box. It's the most precious story. And I know I didn't bring in a whole lot of word today, but I'll end with this. She thought that was of value to her. That was the most value. And, you know, the disciples are like, I mean, come on. I mean, he's a great teacher. I mean, he's great. Jesus is a great teacher. But is he worth that? I mean, is he worth whatever you're doing? Well, to them, it wasn't. Because they didn't understand where she was coming from. And they didn't understand what he had done for her. And they didn't know. I mean, to them, you know, it just wasn't worth. But to her, it was everything. And so her whole life ended up preparing the king for his burial. And that scent, I believe he smelled while he was on the cross. That worship that she gave him, I believe he smelled that while he was on the cross. I believe he still smells it. And I believe that if you become a person of worship in your life, when you come in here together corporately, the scent that you, the anointing that he'll place upon you when he knows that your life values him, the anointing that he'll place on your life to reach your spouse, the anointing that he'll place on you as a mother to discipline your kids, the anointing that he'll place on your life to go into work and be able to do things that nobody else in the office can do will be phenomenal. That's what he wants us to do, is to live this life to where, man, he's just getting glory out of it. And it's natural to us. And it becomes such a sweet smelling. And then you don't have to cultivate anything. I mean, you're just like, I don't have to make this. I don't have to muster up anything. But it's a life to him. And so, Father, we just worship you. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in each individual right now under the sound of my voice. Father, I thank you that you're drawing us near, and we hear your voice this morning, and we not only hear it, but we feel it in our spirit that, man, you're calling us to a place that's higher than we are now. You're calling us to a deeper place in you, to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this earth, to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in our homes, and to accomplish what you need us to do in our churches. There's so much more. There's so much more that you're calling us to, and that you're even asking of us. Father, we don't want to live this life just to say, when we get up to heaven, is just say, you know what? I'm here. But what I want to do is I want to recognize the smell when I get there. I want to recognize the feeling when I get there and say, you know what? I felt this on earth. I know this is right. I know I did what you called me to do. And Father, when you see us, you're going to say, yes. Yeah, you did exactly what I needed you to do. And you stepped into things that you were supposed to step into. Father, I don't want to get to heaven and just look at you and say, man, there was so much more that I needed you to do, but you just didn't take time for me. So, Father, right now we just set aside everything else and we say, you know what, show us some times that we can get alone and just learn who you are. We love you, Father, and we just worship you. We worship you with our life. We worship you with our giving. We worship you with every word that comes out of our mouth. And we do give our life as a living sacrifice that is pleasing and holy and acceptable to you. Everything that we do, every single thing that we do, from the time that we wake up in the morning to the time that we lay our head down at night, Father, let it bring you glory. Let it bring you glory, Father. Let it bring you glory. And let everything that we speak, Father, let it come from you. Let everything that we say and do, Father, oh, let it just be something that you see and that you're pleased with and that it just brings you wonderful, wonderful fragrance, Father. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost in here today with us. Thank you so much. Jesus' name, amen. Now